Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and I am Chuck Bryant. Hey, Josh, how's that?
Oh, it was good. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm working on my radio thing.
I like it.
Your voice is smooth.
Smooth as spider silk.
Spider silk slime from goat milk.
Not their name.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So, as you know, I am a huge fan of Dr. Werner Habermehl.
I did know that.
Did you?
Yeah, but I don't think anyone else did.
Wow. I had never told anybody that before. Is it that obvious?
I just had a sense.
It's my t-shirt, isn't it?
Right.
Well, for those of you who don't know who Dr. Habermehl is, he is a sex researcher at the University of Hamburg in Germany. Hello, Germany. Dr. Habermehl did a study that I read about recently on the Daily Mail. So basically, I'm just letting it all hang out here.
Right.
I follow the careers of clinical sex researchers, and I read the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
But there was a study he did that I ran across where he compared the sex lives of redheads with the sex lives of brunettes and blondes. And he found, just statistically speaking, he didn't really, actually, sadly, he did pose an idea of why.
Right.
Is the case. We'll get to that in a second. But he found that redheads have a noticeably much more active sex life.
Right.
Than any other people with any other hair color.
Interesting.
And the thing that kind of got me was that the same goes for people who dye their hair red.
Really?
And get this. The esteemed doctor said that women who are in a committed relationship and dye their hair red,
right?
That is a really big red flag to the guy.
Oh, that they may be stepping out.
They're looking,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So, Emily ever done that?
Yeah. She went red a little for a time.
What was this?
I think it was before we were married. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Well, it makes sense now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're like, I knew my kid looked like the mailman.
Right.
Yeah. So, this is...
What are you getting at here?
Well, here, you ready?
Yeah.
So the doctor basically says, well, redheads have a fiery temperament, and they're very passionate, which is just so...
cliche.
It is, and it's not necessarily true. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that redheads are among the most maligned and stereotyped people of any hair color.
Redheaded
even
stepchild.
Even worse than blondes.
The phrase redheaded stepchild.
Redheaded stepchild. Sure. Did you know also that there was there's been this big news cycle about redheads going extinct?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
2005 and 2007.
Yeah, which is not true.
No.
We just should say that right away.
No, there was one in 2007, that's the most recent one, that said that the Oxford Hair Institute,
right.
Which sounds so official,
yeah, it does.
It said that redheads will be extinct by 2060.
Right, because of the recessive gene that carries red hair. In theory, they could die out.
Do you want to get into genetics, do
you? I'd prefer not to, but I think we have to.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, let's just give a brief overview. Redheads are, that's a phenotype.
Right.
It's a physical trait. You can see it. You can sense it. Their genotype, the genetic trait that makes them redheads is this, it's a recessive gene.
Right. It's a mutation in the MT1R gene.
Yes. And that is the melanocortin-1 receptor gene.
Right.
Okay. So the MCR1 gene is responsible for a certain pigment production.
Right.
And redheads actually overproduce a red pigment called pheomelanin, which gives them their red hair, and they underproduce eumelanin,
right?
Which gives them a pale skin. It's a darker brown. It's a brown pigment,
right? Which is underproduced,
and it's actually a genetic mutation.
It is.
Did you know that?
I did.
Okay, so, it, like you said, it's also recessive.
Right, which means it can skip generations and then reappear, much later.
Yeah, you or I could actually have a mutated MCR1 gene,
right?
And although neither one of us has red hair,
true.
We'll never know until we have kids with red hair.
Right.
If either one of us comes up with a kid with red hair, it means that you and your wife both have this recessive gene. It got together.
Right.
And the kid had to have this mutated gene.
Right.
Because of the chromosomal contributions by the parent.
Right. Or right. It means infidelity.
Again, yeah.
Back to
it,
that.
It depends, you know. I mean, it could have been. It depends on what Emily did back when she dyed her hair red.
Right.
Right. Although, you probably know by now, right?
If she had a child?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been around the whole time.
Okay, good. All right. So,
So they are not becoming extinct. Not true.
No, they could, though. It would take something on the order of an evolutionary bottleneck.
Right.
Which, as we all know, would basically make all of us not breeders.
Right.
Because of all the rampant familial inbreeding that it would take to, you know, expand the genetic pool again.
Sure.
It's entirely possible. If everybody who had the recessive gene, the MCR1 mutation,
yes.
If all of them died out,
right.
There goes redhead.
Yeah.
Technically, that's the case with everything.
Exactly.
Now, there may be a higher likelihood in an evolutionary bottleneck, or it might take a less of an evolutionary bottleneck for redheads to die out because they are, it is rare.
Right.
But yeah, they're definitely going to be around beyond 2060.
Yeah, I know quite a few redheads myself, so.
See, I know virtually none. I'm actually trying to think right here. I can't come up with a single redhead.
Yeah, I know a couple. Actually, we don't have anyone on staff either, do we?
It's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, well, of course, Candace, our old
Candace, yes.
Old partner. How could we forget Candace?
How? I don't know.
It's She's really the reddest weird. Of heads.
She really is. And you know what? She kind of proves the good doctor, too. She is fiery.
She's a spunky girl.
She definitely is. Okay, so redheads are going to be around for a while,
yeah.
Including Candace, I imagine.
Yes,
thankfully. Yes, and they are, as we said, my very shaky thesis for this podcast, much maligned. I've got another piece of supporting evidence that redheads are often mistreated.
Yes, I know where you're going here.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to tell them about this study?
Yeah, it turns out that, and this is a cool little fact that you can share with your friends and family, redheads actually require more anesthetic when undergoing surgery.
Yeah, and apparently the medical establishment, especially among anesthesiologists and anesthetists, this is common knowledge.
Right.
But there hadn't been an actual study,
correct,
quantifying this before,
right.
2002.
Right.
And these University of Louisville researchers conducted this kind of
cruel,
a little archaic maybe.
Yeah, when I read this, I thought there's got to be a better way to find this out. But, you know, maybe there's not.
Yeah, so what we're talking about was this Louisville study. They took 20 female subjects,
uh-huh.
10 brunettes, I believe, 10 redheads.
Yes.
All of them were on virtually the same menstrual cycle, which
right.
Ruled out any hormonal explanation
right.
for this, because apparently hormones can contribute to your susceptibility or rejection of anesthesia.
Correct.
And they gave them all the gas.
Right.
They gave them, what is it, desflurane?
Desflurane.
Which is a general anesthetic gas.
Right.
And they knocked these women out.
Yeah.
And then they got medieval on their asses.
Uh-huh.
They used, I looked this up, they used bilateral intradermal needles to deliver the electric shock. So basically, they were poking these women with needles
right.
and delivering shocks.
Electric shocks into their body to see if they would react and feel pain.
Yeah, because when you're unconscious, it's much different from sleeping. When you're unconscious, your pain gateway is shut down,
which is why they do it for surgery. You don't want someone digging into your chest cavity and
right.
be able to feel it.
Right, and it's a different state. And actually, scary enough, we don't fully understand how anesthesia works on the brain. We don't
yeah.
know enough about the brain.
We
just kind of know it works.
Yeah.
You know, we figured out, I guess through trial and error,
yeah.
patients dying left and right, what the right ratio is for the average person, right?
Yeah. It's a tough job. Very,
oh, it's, yeah. They also have the highest insurance premium.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And they also make some pretty good coin.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of trying to get into the medical field and you want to make a bunch of money, go anesthesia,
right? And yeah. gas those redheads.
Exactly. So, okay, let's get back to this.
Right.
So they're sitting there delivering shocks to these redheads and actually brunettes. Everyone in the study was treated equally cruelly.
Right.
And they're delivering shocks, and they would decrease the gas or increase the gas depending on the reaction until they stopped getting pain reactions.
Right.
So and the other really kind of startling aspect of the study was that one of the researchers described the shocks as intolerable to a conscious person.
Right.
So these weren't like little, like, ooh, I just licked a 9-volt battery.
Right.
These are electric shocks that you would be like, you know, you'd come at somebody who did this to you if you could move. So they just keep shocking them over and over again, and then they wrote down, you know, the ratios, and they came up with, as you said, redheads need 20% more.
On average, 20%, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty substantial.
It is substantial, but I mean, what's the deal? Why?
Well, before we move on to that, just quickly, I wanted to point out that another study a couple of years later said that the same thing happened in men. So
yeah.
If you're a man out there, you're going to need some extra gas. It's not just for women. But because we don't know exactly how anesthesia works, we don't know exactly why this is true.
Yeah. They just finally linked it.
Right.
They said there is a link, but we're not exactly why that link is there.
Well, which is the MC1R gene,
right,
which is what we were talking about earlier.
It's that genotype has been linked directly to anesthesia for the first time.
Exactly.
So why? What are some of the... some of the reasons they've given?
Well, yeah, they don't know for sure, but they have one explanation that that gene is also involved in hormones that stimulate pain receptors.
Yeah.
Which would make sense.
It would make sense.
Kind of obvious route, if you ask me.
Yeah.
and I believe they had another one that said that the pigments themselves actually cause an increase in pain sensitivity.
Yeah, I think that was the one where they said there's such an abundance of this pigment.
Right.
Things like to go bind to other things in our body, and they're looking for something. Maybe the pain receptors in the brain are similar to the pain receptors that these pigments would normally attach to.
Right. So it overstimulates the brain.
Yeah. It makes them more sensitive to pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So either way, if you're a redhead, I feel bad for you.
I don't
like pain.
Yeah, but being redhead's kind of cool. It's like being left-handed. I wish I was a left-handed redhead.
Wow.
Instead, I'm just a right-handed brunette.
I know. We're just kind of average guys, aren't we?
Average dudes.
There actually is one other good thing that came out of this study. It may actually spur development of a kind of anesthesia that's tailored just for redheads.
Interesting.
That's called pharmacogenetics. You heard of this?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's basically designing drugs to...
more tailor-made.
Tailoring them to somebody based on their genetic makeup.
Right. That makes sense.
It does make sense.
Seems like it would be safer.
It definitely falls into that controversy about genetic testing, though, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah, true.
So it's kind of a fine line, like, keep redheads out of pain,
right,
or, you know, choose only blonde-haired, blue-eyed children in the future.
Right. The boys from Brazil, eventually.
Weird stuff.
You know what I would call that if they actually do manufacture this?
What?
I'd call it red gas.
Nice.
That's what I call it.
Nice. Yeah, you couldn't call it Red Death. It'd be,
yeah,
you'd have a terrible market share, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Red Gas is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, look for Red Gas in the future. And if you want to know more about redheads and anesthesia, extinction, that kind of stuff, you can type those words in any kind of clever combination in our handy search bar at HowStuffWorks.com. And don't go anywhere, because Chuck got something for you. I think it's called Listener Mail.
Listener Mail time. See ya, Josh. We're back here mere seconds later, and I have an exceptional listener mail here. This is what I've titled it, and I have a little folder of exceptional mail. And I've been holding on to this one for a while. You might remember this from our buddy Greg Sorkin, who wrote us a top 10. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
This is one of our first mails.
This is titillating and arousing.
It was. I'm going to give Greg his due. I'm not going to read all 10, but he basically wrote a top 10 reasons why he's obsessed with stuff you should know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go over a few of my favorites. You purposely leave early for work and then take side streets along the way simply to have more time to listen to your new episode.
Nice.
This guy's furthering his commute.
Yeah.
You hum the jazzy theme song as you go about your day, which I do as well.
Uh-huh.
You have more fun learning from Josh and Chuck than you did from your super hot organic chemistry professor. Which is awesome.
It is.
A little piece of you dies when you hear the theme music play back in, signaling the end of the episode. Pretty sad. And his number one reason was you have a full-fledged man crush on Josh and Chuck.
Man crush.
And we bring this up because we've had, oddly, quite a few men write us and say they have man crushes.
I know. We're super hot organic chemistry teachers.
It's just weird. But the man crush phenomenon is a real thing. I know you have quite a few.
Bromance.
Yes. I know actor John Leguizamo. You're very hot for him.
I don't like to talk about it. I hope one day that I will meet John Leguizamo. I'm not really holding out hope. I don't want to touch him or anything. It's more just like being next to him, you know what I'm saying, and have him like punch me in the shoulder and be like, hey, Josh, how's it going?
I think that's what a man crush is. It really means is what you want to do is you want to go out and like have a beer with him. Like, I have a tremendous man crush on George Clooney.
Yeah.
Because I want to go hang out with George Clooney and talk about basketball and drink a beer, man.
You know, it's underrated these days, but there is such thing as platonic love.
Yeah. If he fits me, I wouldn't.
That's not platonic.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. It's George Clooney. It would be a good story.
It depends on how forceful the fit was, right?
True. Okay. And how shaven he was.
Well, if you want to tell Chuck or I about your recent romance or who you have a man crush on, or you want to send us a top 10 list. And by the way, Greg, you can expect to see shirt for that top 10 list, buddy. Definitely. Send us your size and your mailing address to the email address we're about to give. Actually, you've already got it, so just send it again, will you? And if you want to send us one for the first time, you're not quite certain who to address it to, what email address you need to ship it off to, you want to send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?